Blog Talk Radio.
Challenged people, so Abba has blessed me to work there. It's gratifying and humbling at the same time to work with mentally challenged people, because you see from working with them and then translating to quote-unquote normal society how messed up society really is without Yah. Scripture says we are mad without Yah in our lives, and you truly see that. So that is the gratifying part of working with mentally challenged people. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Hebrew Israelite culture. Thought that Abiyah has given me, and there's going to be a couple shows, because we're going to dig into this Hebrew Israelite culture. Tonight will just be an introduction also. But as I ride through the city, because I take some out on jobs, the people that I work with, and I'm from one end of the city to another end. In Israel, the Israel that I know to be Israel is in more need of culture than anything. We are so messed up as a people. I'm talking about the people who was brought over in the slave Atlantic slave trade, who was brought over here in slave ships, who foremothers and fathers went through slavery. We are in dire need of some culture. And the worst part about it is we think we have the best culture on the planet Earth. The best culture, period. Man, as I ride up and through the city of Baltimore, because that's where I live at, and I see our young daughters with blonde hair, with barely any clothes on, and I don't say nothing. Any chance I get, I try to give them the word of Yah. And our young brothers with their pants hanging off their behinds. And I don't get mad. I feel kind of sad. And even with teaching the word of Yah earlier today, I don't know why, but whenever I got to teach it, I almost get like a broken heart. Whenever that time comes for me to teach, it's like I get this real sad feeling. And I ask the brother, why does these thoughts that come in my mind that make me sad? He said, so you can see how I feel when my people are just so disobedient to me. But I don't like that feeling. And I told Abba, I said, before I asked him, I said, I don't like this feeling, Father. I don't like feeling sad and brokenhearted. So why do I feel sad and brokenhearted every time it comes around to teach your word? And he tell me, so you understand how I feel. And I can imagine most of the teachers, they go through something when it's time to teach Yahweh's word. So you can have a heart for the people. So you can have a feeling for the people. Because Yahweh don't want none of us perish, no matter how bad off in society may say we are. He don't want none of us to perish. And he has devised ways. To us, it may be like, man, we teach this so many different ways. But as we've been taught, through repetition is how we learn. So he has devised so many ways to teach his word and to open up his word to the masses. So, well, maybe they ain't get it this way. Maybe they'll get it that way. And it seems like no matter which way he says it, some of us just won't get it. Some of us just won't open up our heart and minds to get what the word of Yahweh is talking about. We are satisfied in whatever state that we're living in. We are content in how we are as human beings. Because as we go through a Hebrew Israelite culture, we'll come to understand that what he gave Israel for a culture is for something for the whole world should be doing, should be learning. But a lot of us, as a small percentage, I won't go with the majority, I'm going to go with the small percentage, the minority, that will do what Yahweh say do. And none of us will do it 100%. That's why he has given us his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit. That's why his son has died for us, because scripture says we are all sinners. All, every human being on the face of the planet are sinners, falling short of the glory. But because we strive to walk after his law, we strive to live in the culture that he has given us. Yes, and when we read it, we're going to look up the word culture today. It's, his word is a culture. It talks about it's a way of life. We're going to look it up. This is our culture. This is our custom. This is how we are taught and we're told and commanded to live before mankind. So the scripture says in one part that we are spectacles. David said in another part that we are wonders. Our culture will make everybody else wonder. Our culture will make us spectacles to the world. But not in the sense of, hey, point of finger, look at that, laughing. I want to join that. I want to be like that. Whatever culture that brother is, I want to be. Whatever culture that sister is, I want to be. Whoever their mentor is, whoever their teacher is, I want to be like, I want to sit under. They look like they got it on the ball. They look like they have something that's worth something, that's valuable. And no, they don't drive around in the most fancy cars. No, they don't live in the best houses. But whatever they have, it looks valuable. I want that. If we're living the culture that the Creator has given us, the world will look at you and say, you have something valuable. There's something different about you. My rabbi used to always tell us, if you are serving the Creator, you will be like nobody else in this world. Nobody else in this world. Because he is different than anybody else in this world. He said, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But he has given us a way. He has given us something to live by, to walk by, to try to transcend our lives into, and we can be just like him on this planet. You know, somebody may say, man, that's far-fetched. How are we going to be like the Creator? How are we going to be like him? He said, be ye holy as I am holy. The mistake that most people make, most believers make, is I'm going to fall short. That is impossible to be like the Most High. That's the mistake that most of them make, most of us make. I'm not even going to exclude myself. I'm going to include myself in that. There's no way that I can be like the Most High. But he commanded us that. Be ye holy as I am holy. That's a command. Hold up now. Father, that's an impossible task that you're laying upon us. Be, how I'm going to be holy as you are holy. But he said it in his word. Not only in the quote unquote old, but in the new too. He said, all right. For you, it may be impossible. For the rest of the world, it may be impossible. Maybe. But I'm going to send you an example down here. I'm going to send my son down here. And he's going to show you how to be holy. He's going to show you a culture that is like no other culture on the face of the planet. No other culture. He's going to show you something. He's going to do it perfectly. So he says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. No different than saying, be ye holy as I am holy. But that's something we can strive for. That's not something that we can say that is impossible. That is something that we can strive to be that way. And that right there takes total surrendering of yourself. Total surrendering of yourself. And a relationship like no other relationship that you put above anything else in this world to become holy as he is holy. But he gave us a word. He gave us, I like to use a constitution. As the United States have a constitution, so does the Creator of heaven and earth have a constitution. And he wants us to be just as patriotic as the World War II veteran. He wants us to be even more patriotic than him. Even more. And one thing about this culture that he has given us is in the first thought that he had given me is in Corinthians 1:10. This is one thing about that culture. That was the first thought about this culture he has given me. Give me a moment and I'll get there. Now I beseech ye, you brethren, by the name of our Master Yahushua HaMashiach, that ye all speak the same thing. He's going to stop right there. So when you see this culture that the Creator has given us, we all should be speaking the same thing. And now I might have a naysayer out there, oh man, that's impossible. That's because you believe in through man. You understanding through man. And don't misconstrue my words. And say, we can't all speak the same thing, and we like all robots. No, within the personality of me, within the personality of my sister, when we talk about the word of Yah, when we say what we believe in the word of Yah, it should line right up. She may use different words than me. I may use different words than her. Or my brothers. Or whoever out there in the four corners of this world who have hung on and clung on to the word of Yah, we should all be speaking the same thing. Our culture should be the same no matter where we are in the world. We may say it differently, but we mean the same thing. So that's one thing you will see about this culture, that they all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you. We will not be divided in the word of Yah. We will not be divided in the word of Yah. The scripture says that Mary had a child by the Holy Spirit. Then I believe that. But there are Hebrew Israelites who say they have the same culture as I had, that says Mary did not have immaculate conception. Mary and Joseph had intercourse. Now, our cultures are different. Our belief in the word is different. But Paul just said, let us all speak the same thing. How can I say that the word of Yah is wrong and say, no, Mary, her and Joseph had a relationship, intercourse. But the word didn't say that. The word said that the Holy Spirit impregnated her. So which culture should I go after? Which belief should I go after? Because those are two different cultures right there. And what's going to happen? The people are going to be divided. Brother Shaul, Brother Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10, 1:10, said, don't be divided. Speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, that's a part of the culture of an Hebrew Israelite. That is a part of our culture. That is what the Most High has sent down, that we all be in the same mind and have the same judgment. So as we go through these and understand what a culture is, what is this culture that the Most High has given us? What is it? How can we see it in the world? Or even, is it in the world today? Is it out there? Is the culture of a Hebrew Israelite, does it exist today in the world? Because we know that, you know, the Israel has been scattered. They have lost their identity. They have lost their God. They have lost everything that contains to culture. That's why we're so messed up out there now. When you go out and you look at Israel, they are everywhere. In every denomination, you can find an Israelite. Every denomination under the sun, from Satanism to Mormonism, from Hinduism to Buddhism, you can find an Israelite in there. But our Father told us that. He said, you're going to go after other mighty ones. You're going to go after other cultures, in other words. Wood and stone. You know, they was the two predominant ones that he actually spoke about, the ones that wood and stone. And what would be these wood and stone today but the cross? And what is the Kaaba stone? The Islam. Father, he spoke that to us thousands of years ago. Look, Israel, y'all can go after another culture. Now you go to an Christian, you go to a Muslim, and you tell them that, hey, that is not the culture of the Most High. Get out of here, they're gonna scorn you. Very few will stop and listen to you. We'll say, what you just said, it makes sense. Let me give that more thought. Let me get into that. Let me search that out first before I say, yeah, that's true. Because, you know, the Most High just don't want us to jump in and put on this culture. He don't want us to do that. So, come and learn of me, he said. He don't want to. And many times throughout the scriptures, he says, I would not have you ignorant, brother. He don't want us to be dumb about what we do. He wants us to make a sound decision. One of the first things he said to Israel is Shema, to listen intently. Whatever I'm saying, I want you to listen, take it in, dissect it, break it down, and make a sound decision on what you just heard. Don't just say yes with the quickness. But we don't find out in Israel that they said yes with the quickness and did not take in consideration or think about what the Father was talking about. And that's when Moses was up on the mountain. And he was speaking to Moses. And all Israel said, yeah, we'll do it. That was a hasty decision. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about that this weekend. We may get into that this weekend. So I'm not going to go that route. You know, because we, in Bible study, we are in Isaiah 31:31, starting at verse 31, talking about the renewed covenant. I know some of y'all books may say the new covenant, but we're going to come to find out it's a renewed covenant. You know, because the old and the new covenant, they're one and the same. They're one and the same. There's a few little tweaks here and there of what we talked about earlier in the Constitution. You ain't changing the Constitution. All you're doing is adding amendments to it. And that's what the Father did with the I keep going into that lesson. It's bad when you got two lessons coming because you hear from here, you hear to that, and it's a lot that I forgive you. You know, so, and it's hard sometimes to turn it off. The more you talk, you say, okay, the more you want to open your mouth, the more I'm going to give you, and you just talk. So, but we're talking about tonight the culture of a Hebrew Israelite. You know, and why in Hebrew Israelite, why is it specified like that? Because in Genesis, it talks about Father Abraham. When the first time the word Hebrew was mentioned, it was in Genesis. Write that down. I looked that up real quick. The first time the word Hebrew... Oh, Genesis 14:13. I wrote it down. That is the very first time the word Hebrew is used in the word of Yah. And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrews. Right there. That is the first time that in this way, this form, that it was used, Hebrew. For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, the brother of Anah, and these were confederate with Abram. This is even before his name was changed. So the Father said, well, most people may not even know what a Hebrew Israelite is. So look up the word Hebrew. Look that up. So that is in your Strong Concordance. 5680 from 5677 an Eberite, i.e. Hebrew or descendant of Eber, Hebrew, Hebrewess woman. So who is this Eber? So we're gonna go to the first time this word is used, because we remember we're talking about the culture of an Hebrew Israelite. The first time the word evil, we find the word evil or the name evil is in Genesis 10:21. Unto Shem, also the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were the children born. ever is where we get the word Hebrew from. So we got to look up what that means, ever, because we're talking about Hebrew Israelites. The same as 5, 6, 7, 6, ever, the name of 2 patriarchs and 4 Israelites. So we're going to go to 5, 6, 7, 6. And that's Hebrew 2. From 5, 6, 7, 4, properly a reason, a region, a cross, but used only adverbially, with or without a preposition, on the opposite side. Let's go to 5, 6, 7, 4. A primitive root. Now that is abar. A primitive root to cross over. We're going to stop right there. So the thought of an Hebrew is one who has crossed over. So that's the first thought we get with Hebrew. So now let's look up Israel. First place you find Israel in the scripture is in Genesis 32:28. But we need to know, if we're going to look into the culture of an Hebrew Israelite, where these things come from and what do they mean, so we can get a deeper understanding of that. And he said that this is when Jacob wrestled with the angel, one of the patriarchs. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince has the power with Yah and with men, and has prevailed. Now, when you look up Israel, it's going to have all those in it. It's going to have prevailed. It's going to have the power of Yah. So let's look up Israel. From 8:2, 8:0, and 4:10. He will rule as Yah. That's what the name Israel means. He will rule as Yah. So when you put one who has crossed over to rule as Yah, that was the thought, the culture of an Hebrew Israelite. And that right there is another story, because we know who has crossed over, and he ruled as Yah on this planet. But we're not going to get into that right there. We just going to break down a simple definition of that. So if you go to 8:20, it says Sarah. And that's even more deeper into what Israel points to. How in the world did Israel jump to Sarah when you look it up, when you dig down into it? When you, as Messiah told the disciples, go out, cast your net out into the deep. And that's what we're doing here. We're going inside of the word. We just looking up words. To prevail. Remember we talked about that? That was in the name of Israel. One to prevail. One who wrestled with God and prevailed. Have power. Remember, as a prince. We talked about that too. That all these are going to be in the name of Israel. So to even look at Hebrew Israelites, if you want to cross over, you have to do it with the power of Yah. That's why it's a distinction on Hebrew Israelites. It also is a distinction on Hebrew Israelites because there are many Hebrews. Ishmael was one of Abraham's sons. First, let's get the understanding of why we're talking about Abraham's son. Because the father said he's going to bless Abraham, who is a Hebrew, and he's going to bless his seed. His seed, whatever comes through Abraham's loins, is going to be blessed. In one form or fashion, all of Abraham's seed is blessed. We and nobody else on the face of the planet can ever take that away from them. They are blessed. Whatever came out of the loins of Abraham is blessed. How? Because Yahweh said it. He said he's going to bless Abraham's seed. So in one form or fashion, they are blessed, but there's a different blessing that he put upon the Hebrew Israelites. And what is that blessing? The blessing is him himself. He gave Israel himself. So that blessing right there supersedes any other blessing on the face of the planet. And we may not see that, those who are young in the faith. And even sometimes some of us that are old in the faith don't see that. True blessing of being an Hebrew Israelite is that you have the Most High Yah, the true living mighty one, the one true living mighty one. Nobody else has that. Nobody else has been blessed with that. But that sometimes is hard to see and hard to grasp when you're freshly coming into this way, or you have been living this way, and in your mind you have been struggling. You have been living hard. So you, in your mind, you can't shake that blessings is monetary things. Blessings is, I won't have to worry about my bills. I won't go through heartaches. Now, just the contrary. I never thought from my rabbi, who left us with many good thoughts, is he never promised us a rose garden. You think that was a blessing for his son, Yahushua, to come down? And it was a blessing to get beat like that? We may not see that as a blessing, but it was a blessing to do that, to lay his life down for us. That's a blessing. What he has given Israel, the culture and the ways of life he has given Israel, is better than anything else on the face of the planet or even in this solar system, period. And yes, we are Hebrew Israelites. We will never deny that, because there are some bad seed Hebrew Israelites, and a lot of us, we don't want to be called by that name, Hebrew Israelite. We don't want to say that we're Hebrew Israelites. Why? Because when you say you're Hebrew Israelite, it's like their face turned upside down. You know, that happened to me many times. My uncle, you know, you ain't like them brothers that be on the corners, are you? No, I'm not like that. So what they have done, they have put a bad culture of Israel out there. And it's our job to straighten that out, to make the name Yisrael honorable again. So I proudly say, yes, I am an Israelite. Yes, I am an Hebrew Israelite. I proudly say that. Why? Because I'm going to bring the honor back to that name. I'm going to bring it. And prayerfully, I don't dishonor it at times with my own actions and doings. I see the importance of his name. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. The glory that the Creator has put on his name right here, 7:14, I'm sorry. You probably heard this before. Quite sure you did, but you know, a lot of people misuse this. They misuse the word of Yah. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's go back up. I just wanted to read that up. We're going to get the first clause. If my people, which are called by my name, who is this? There's nowhere in the book where we were called by Yah, that we were called by Yahushua. Nowhere in there. So what name is he talking about? We just read it in Genesis 32:28. He said that thou should no longer be called by Jacob, but Israel. That's the name that he's talking about. That name that he has given us, Israel. So we know there are some bad apples out there that's calling themselves Hebrew Israelites, that's making the name Israel not honorable. But because the name Israel is honorable, it's up to me to uphold that honor in that name. One more scripture about the name. Because this is why it's up to me and my brothers and sisters to uphold that name. And this is in Isaiah 56:5. Even unto them, he's talking about the Gentiles. If you go back up, he's talking about the eunuchs. If you can get in your spare time, read the whole chapter of Isaiah 56. Very good, very good, very good chapter. Very good chapter. He's talking about the eunuchs, and he's talking about the Gentiles. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place, and a name better than the sons and of daughters, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. What is that everlasting name that he's going to give them? Yisrael. I have called you Yisrael. He gave us that name. So far be it from us to allow any man to say, we can't call ourselves by the name of Yisrael. That's like the foolishness about the Sabbath. Somebody then said and came up and had a thought in their mind, and they're talking about Saturn. Oh, that's where Sabbath comes from. I read a post the other day when the sister said, oh, how long y'all going to be Saturn worshippers? Like, what? Because the Greeks and the Romans worshipped Saturn. And they named the seventh day Saturn. So what? Yahweh gave the seventh day, and he said it is the Shabbat. So I cannot worship what the Father gave me because some fool and some other deity, some other culture is using it. I can't hold on to what the Father has given me. Some of our brothers and sisters don't want to say amen. Oh, that's that Egypt thing right there, brother. You shouldn't be saying amen. What? It's in his word. I can't use what his word says. I can't use that. Because some other culture is using it. I shouldn't be able to use it. He has given that to me and my family. Yisrael. So because some idiots, some fools are out there using the name Israel and making it dishonorable, I have to make it honorable. Because that's the name he gave me. That's just like saying that a Christian can say Jesus. No, you cannot say Jesus because he said Yahusha. You should name him. The angel came down and told Miriam that. You should name him Yahusha. So now you got the whole movement saying that it doesn't matter what his name is. It's talking about his character. He's alive. It means you shall call him Yahusha. When you say a name and give an honor to him through a name, you can't give it honor to any other name. That is the culture. Even when we get into this culture, names mean something in the Hebrew Israelite culture. As within a lot of other cultures, names mean something. But when we dig into this culture that the Most High has given us, we're going to see what names mean. So yes, I am an Hebrew Israelite. Even if I didn't believe that I was a natural-born Hebrew Israelite, Scripture shows and tells me, and whoever else who read and study it for themselves, that I will be grafted in into the nation of Israel. So I will be an Israelite too. So whatever culture is Israel's, is whatever the Most High has given them as a culture, should be my culture too. Let's see. Let's see what the scripture says about that. Exodus 12:49. We're going to go through the word of Yah. We're going to break down this culture of Israel. Because everybody who say they're Israel is not of Israel. This is what the Most High, he's speaking to the Israelites. One law, three Moshe. I'm going to start at 48. And when a stranger sojourn among thee, and will keep the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised. Wow, what that got to do with me keeping the Passover? This is something that the Father started with Abraham, circumcision. This is a culture, a way of life that he started with our father Abraham. On the eighth day, circumcise your son. Way before he had formed the nation of Israel or brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. So now, when a stranger sojourn among you, let his male be circumcised. Let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. Oh, not now to my unhonorable Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters. If the Father gave this way of life, gave this culture to Israel, I'm quite sure he know how to say that, no, Israel, when strangers or whoever sojourn among you, they can't come near. Don't let them come in the holy place. But he didn't say that. He gave them the same thing he was giving Israel. And he also said, he shall be as one that is born in the land. What does that mean? That how can me, as a Hebrew Israelite, say that nobody else can be saved or come into the nation of Israel? How can I say that when the word speaks against that? What the Father has given us speaks totally against that. As one that was born in the land. Hold up. I'm born here in the United States. Now, we have a law here in the United States that if two parents from France came over here, and the mother was pregnant. And before I get to that route, with the thought that I was going, no, I'm going to come back to that. And the mother was pregnant, and they came over here in the United States, and she ended up having her baby on United States soil. That baby is a United States citizen. It will have what they will call dual citizenship. But if the parent wanted to become United States citizens, what they will have to do is denounce their country and learn the Constitution and learn the laws of this land. And then they can become United States citizens. Where do you think United States got that thought from? Just food for thought for those who say it's only Israel. It's only, you have to be a natural born Israelites to get this culture that we have been given. So they have to denounce their way of life, and then they can become United States citizens. Once they learn the criteria to become a United States citizen, they will be United States citizens. They will no longer be France citizens. That's the same thing what the Father said. Just right here in his word. But who did he have to tell that? Because even back then, you still had some ignorant-minded Israelites who was making that name unhonorable. Say, look, when they do what they were supposed to do, they take the circumcision. You, Israel, don't you look at that stranger no more as a stranger. You look at him as he is a natural-born Israelite. That's a commandment. This is in the law, right here, what we will call the law, the first five books. This is in the law. So how can an Israelite say that you only have to be a natural-born Israelite? Remember what we started off with. Speak. Let all of us speak with one mind, one judgment, so there be no divisions. In another part, he says, mock them. Mock them who cause divisions among thee. Hebrew Israelites out there that are causing divisions, we mock them. We mock them, because that's what the scripture says. Because if you're teaching that you have to be a natural born Israelite, you're teaching against the word of Yah, so I have to mock you, because the scripture says mock you, because you're causing divisions. That's when the scripture talks about cry aloud. They use that wrongly too. Cry aloud against you, because you are the one who's using the word of Yah wrongly. Unhonorable Israelite. Let me finish reading that out. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. That is the criteria for one at those days and times to become an Israelite. Now, this is the whole thing right here. Let's go to 49. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. Say what? One law? That means whatever the law says to me, whatever my custom is, whatever my culture is, it must also be that one that says, look, you know, what y'all got over there, y'all culture, y'all got it going on. I want to be like y'all. I cannot turn him away. I cannot say to him that he is not an Israelite, regardless of what color his skin is. Then I'm causing divisions. Then the brethren should mock me. That's what the scripture says. Mock them that cause divisions. But again, we're talking about the culture of a Hebrew Israelite. Let's go to a few more scriptures talking about this one law. Leviticus 24:22. Give me a second, I'm getting there. Ye shall have one manner of law as well for the stranger, as well for one of your own country. For I am Yahweh, your mighty one. One law for your own countrymen and one law for the stranger. So to you who will call himself a Gentile or a stranger, if the law tells me that I have, if my culture has dietary laws, then you should have dietary laws too. If my culture says that I should be going to service at a certain on a certain day, then you should be going to service on a certain day too. I should not look out in the world and you holding on to this book, which is our culture, and you doing something different. You have no excuse either. Then you too will be an unhonorable Israelite. Why? Because I don't care what you call yourself, what you put in front of your name, if you're picking up these books and you're trying to hold on to and say that you are part of those books, these books and what the Creator has given us, then you too, as the scripture says, have become an Israelite, but an unhonorable Israelite. You haven't become what the Creator intended when he first made Adam, or when he brought Yahusha about and showed us that example. You're not becoming that, because that is what the ultimate culture looks like. I'm jumping ahead of myself, though. Let me bring it back. Numbers 15, 16. Same thing. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourn among you. Now, we done read this in three different books so far about that one law. Three different books. Now, how is it that any Israelite says that nobody else can come this way, that he only came to save Israel? You're all right in that, in a way. But y'all using it wrong. Y'all excluding everybody else. No. Everybody else, if you want to be saved, you have to go the route that Israel is going. There's no other route that he has given. You have to go the same route that Israel is going. You have to hold on to our culture. Let's look that word up, though. Let's look that word up, because that's the whole other lesson, culture. And that's where we're going to go through the scriptures. As we read through the word culture, you know, and I'm reading from the Merriam-Webster.com, Merriam-Webster dictionary. That's where I've looked up the word culture from. We start from the top. Now listen carefully, though. Listen to all the definitions that I read. And I pulled out some of the things that we'll be going through the Torah, the Word of Yah, to show that the Creator has given us a culture, has given us a way of life different than anybody else. The beliefs, customs, arts, etc. of a particular society, group, place, or time. A particular society that has its own belief, ways of life. Now, you may say that there's a plethora of cultures out there who can say, yeah, we have our own way of life. You think of an Amish. Think of their society. That is a way of life. That is a culture that they live in. Now, what's the other ones? Mormons. That is a culture. That is a way of life that they live in. And why I have used those two, because those are the two that's most visible that you can say that's really outside of the pop culture or the norm of society, especially the Amish. When you see Amish, you already know that they're Amish, just on how they dress alone. And they live in a secluded little society or community to themselves. And the outside world don't go there. They may come into the outside world, but the outside world don't go there. So We see glimpses of how they live, how their society strives and thrives. But what we want to see is how do this Hebrew Israelite culture live? But the beautiful thing about the Hebrew Israelite culture is the total opposite of an Amish culture, which is secluded, which is shut off from the outside world. The beautiful thing about the Hebrew Israelite culture is Abba has placed this culture within the world system, within the world culture. And he placed us there for a reason. He don't want us to be secluded. He don't want us to be secluded. And understand what I'm saying, because you may can say, well, why you say be set apart? Why are you set apart if you don't want us to be secluded? Be set apart in the world, to the world system. We're set apart from the world system in the sense that what governs us is the ways of Yah. That's it. But he placed us within this world, not to be secluded, pulled off to a little side of the world where the outside world don't come in and see us. No, we just the opposite. Remember we talked about earlier? We are wonder and we are spectacle. How else is the world going to see Israel? How else is the world going to see this culture if we secluded, if we just pulled off to the side? Now, there's going to be a time for us to be hid, but right now it ain't that time. It ain't that time for us to be hid and pulled off to the rest outside of the world's eye. Right now, we should be light within this world system. We should be living the culture that the Father has given us inside of this world system so people can say, hey, what are you? They may think they have an idea of what you are, especially for my sisters and for my brothers who wear the kufi. The first thing they will think we are Muslims. First thing they think my sister is a Muslim. But when she goes through and tells them, hey, I'm not a Muslim, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. Brothers say, I'm not a Muslim, because we get all the time, assalamu alaikum, and we be shalom alaikum. We hit them back with the shalom. And sometimes you can see the puzzleness on the face of a brother that, did he say shalom? That brother a little confused. He said shalom. Shalom. No, it's shalom. All you did was wish peace upon me, and I wished it back upon you. That's it. That's all you did. But if you sat and you asked me a question of who I am, I'm going to let you know. I am a Hebrew Israelite. Within the world system, the world needs to see honorable Hebrew Israelites and sisters, brothers and sisters. That's why Yahweh got us here. That's why he's raising us up like we are coming up, so the world can see us. Scripture says about the Messiah, Lord, I come in the volume of the book. You can look at that in two ways. You can look at it and I'll come in the volume of the book. Whatever the book say, I'm a do. Or whatever the book is, I am too. And I like the latter better than the first. Whatever the book is, that's me. That's me. I am the book. Let's finish reading. The beliefs, customs, arts, etc. of a particular society, group, place, or time. A particular society that has its own beliefs, ways of life, art, etc. A way of thinking. I like that. We're going to find in the scripture. We're going to comb through the scriptures and see, within this culture, is it a way of thinking? And they should, because the scripture that we started off with in 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, let us all be of the same mind. Let us all speak the same thing. So that is a way of thinking within this culture. We're going to see that's a way of thinking. The mind is where all everything is housed, that where we control everything about us. It's in our mind. When we speak, we speak from the spirit and from our mind. So within the word culture, it talks about a way of thinking. Did Abba give us a way of thinking within our culture? Paul said, now I know I'm jumping, but the scripture just came to me and I got to say it, to let this mind be in you. He's talking about the mind of the Messiah. So, did the Father give us a way of thinking within this culture that is like no other culture on the face of the planet? None. None whatsoever. That's been a shout, though. You know, I'm gonna go through so much. I'm gonna mess up. My brothers always say, man, you can't hold nothing because, you know, the Word of God is good. It is so good. It is so rich. And that's how rich is Israel. You know, it don't seem like it all the time when you sit in there and you try to figure out how you're going to pay this bill. Something just came out of the blue on you. You sitting there, you worried. But that is our riches, this word of Yah. To know that the Most High will answer the bell for you. What he wants to see if you have emunah, faith. Faith. And not how the world sees faith. Not how it is. What it means in the very sense of the Hebrew word emunah, to believe, to support. We talked about that the last time it was on. Faith. Support the Most High. Believe him. Believe in what his word says. But this is our riches. Right here. To have the Most High Yah. That's our riches right there. That's finished. I'm stopping. A way of thinking, behaving, or working that exists in a place or organization. So it's a behavior also within this culture. What we get so far? We got some beliefs. We got a custom. We got a way of thinking. We got a way of life. We got a behavior. Does not the scripture talk about how we should behave? And that's for male and female. We're going to go through it. We're going to take beliefs. We're going to take customs. We're going to take a way of thinking. We're going to take behavior. And I haven't gotten to the other two yet. So I had to stop there. But we're going to take these and we're going to go through the scriptures and say, that's our culture. That is what is expected of an Hebrew Israelite. Why is it expected of us? So we can be like no other people on the face of the planet. Once we put the culture of the Most High within us, we will be like no other people on the face of the planet. So it is expected of us. It was given to you so you can become that. So it's something that back in the 60s, when James Brown said, say it loud, I'm black and proud, it becomes a good feeling to you, a good understanding to know that I was a black person. I'm a black person, and I'm proud to be a black person. I feel good about being a black person. You know, that movement is coming back. Because the downtrodden of these people have not stopped. It has gotten worse. Satan threw a monkey wrench in the program back in the 60s and said, won't y'all integrate? After a monkey wrench in the whole program, go ahead and integrate. Y'all get respect then. Y'all become as everybody else. But that three-fourths or one-third of a human being there, forget about that. Won't you integrate? Then give me all your best, and y'all move out the hood and rub elbows with high society. Or white society or the powers that be. So it was a monkey wrench through in the program. 50 years later, we're still worse off. We're still looked at as niggas. We're still trying to say, I'm black and proud. We still have to say that you're beautiful, young girl. Don't worry about your skin color. You're beautiful. We still got to tell our daughters that. We still got to tell our sons that you're worth something. You're more than what society say you are. But if we take on the culture of the Most High, cool. Black and proud. He got nothing on the culture of the Most High. Yisraelite and proud. Yisraelite and honored. And honored to be an Israelite. Black and proud? Hey, that's a color, man. Man, as a matter of fact, that's a shade. Father said, you are an Israelite. You should no longer be called yak, nigger, spook, coon. You are an Israelite. You are much more than what the world said you are. I have given you a culture. I have given you a way of life. I have given you beliefs, customs, a way of thinking, behavior plan. I gave you a behavior plan. If he had my job, working with mentally challenged, we have behavior plans. So when the client acts, act up, get out of order, we supposed to go to the behavior plan and say, this is step one, step two, and step three. And it may not always work. But in the same thing what I talked about earlier, you should be in repetition. When you're talking to somebody who is mentally challenged, when you're trying to get them back, what we would call on task. Because we have to intercede when they're getting in their behavior plan, what we call is a behavior plan. So before they get to the climax, what I will have to know with the customers that I work with, I will have to know their behavior plan, and I have to intercede. Oh, my goodness. Did not Yahweh give us a behavior plan within our culture? Do we not have a behavior plan? Is not the word of Yah a behavior plan for mankind? So when I'm out of order, doing something that I'm supposed to be doing, and a brother walked past me, and he had on some strings that Yahweh said in Numbers 15:39 that I should look at and I should remember his Torah. That's a behavior plan. That brother, not saying nothing out of his mouth, he just interceded for me. Or he can say something out of his mouth. I could be out of order. The brother can come to me because he said, go to that brother who you find in the book, who is out of the behavior plan. But you don't come to him, he said, as if you don't have behaviors. You go to him, you let him look, brother, I have behaviors too. But this is what the behavior plan says, so we can get back in order. This is the culture that the Most High has given us. Let me finish, family. Let me finish out this. a way of thinking, behaving, or working that exists in a place or organization. So the whole organization, the whole body of these people should have the same behavior plan, should have the same way of thinking, should have the same beliefs, the same customs, the culture of Yah. Now we are in the fourth definition of culture. We in the act of developing the intellectual and moral faculties, especially by education. Culture. I like how he breaks that down. The act of developing. That means it just don't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes time to learn this culture that the Father has given us, these laws, statutes, and judgment. It takes time. Why? The intellectual and moral faculty. This mind of ours. You know, what we think is morally right may not be the same is morally right as what the Father does. So it's going to take time to develop the culture of the Father. And a lot of times, our morals, our intelligence will buck against the Father's morals and his intelligence and his culture. Just take society. Society says now that if a man wants to say he is a woman, that I have to accept him as a woman. And he may just feel this way for a day. He may just pop up today. From yesterday I was Butch. Today I'm Michelle. And you have to honor that he is Michelle today. The intellect of society, the morals of society are different than the intellect, the morals of the Father. His culture is different than anybody else. So it may take me some time to develop the culture of the Father. Why? Because I got to tear down. He has to tear down. Let me correct myself. He has to tear down my intellect, my morals. What I think is right, my opinion about that. He has to tear that down. I can't. And if I say I turn it down, it will rise back up because I cannot tear it down. I cannot. I have to take time and develop the intellect, the morals of the Father, his culture, which is his word. But the way the Father given it to us, he given it to us, and again, what we talked about earlier, in everyday plain life, so somebody can get it, somebody can understand what it takes to become a true believer. The act of developing intellectual and moral faculties, especially by education. What do you say to the Hebrew Israelite? Study to show thyself approved. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly understanding the culture of the Father. We have to rightly understand his culture. We have to rightly understand his truth, which is his word. Why? Because in contrast, there's a wrong way to understand his culture, his word, his truth. Again, those unhonorable Israelites have some doctrine. They have a 12-tribe chart. that's naming all these tribes and where they at and who they are when it has nothing to do with the scripture. They wrongly divided the word of Yahweh. And they will go and try to use the word to prove that. I just saw one brother say Cornelius was a Hebrew. Cornelius was a black man. Why everybody got to be black? I mean, I don't know. Beethoven was a black man. Next day, they're going to say Elvis Presley. He was a black man. Anybody who has some fame and some world renown, they want to snatch up and say he was a Hebrew. No, he wasn't. Be who the Father said you were. We don't have to take every great or every person of renown and say they was a Hebrew Israelite. If I want to big up somebody, I'm going to big up Moshe. I'm going to big up Isaiah. I'm going to big up Nahum, Yahusha. I'm going to take them, brother. I ain't got to go back and prove if Beethoven was a black man or Cornelius was a black man. I don't have to prove that. That's not what the Father has given me to prove. What he has given me to prove is myself. Study to show thyself approved. Back in Deuteronomy, I have took you all these ways to prove you. He has given me myself to be proven. I ain't got to prove that Beethoven was a black man. Cornelius was a black man. Which Cornelius wasn't a black man. The scripture clearly says, see, again, they are wrongly dividing the word. You're wrongly bringing out the culture of an Hebrew Israelite. Let's move on, though, family. Let's move on. Three. Expert care and training. Care and training. So that's why you study to show thyself approved. Scripture just came to mind, but it flew away just like that. It'll come back. It'll come back. And Father must only to bring that one out. But expert training. Expert care and training. Again, when you train, you're doing it. You're building either when a boxer trains, he trains, he builds endurance for strength and for stamina. When we're training, we're studying, we're building our faith, we're building our understanding so we can prove. We can prove the Father that his word is true. Because the scripture said, he also said, prove me. He's proven us, but we're proving ourselves to him, and he's going to prove himself to us. Four, an enlightenment, an excellence of taste acquired by intellectual and aesthetic training. Aesthetic training. An enlightenment, an excellence of taste acquired by intellectual and aesthetic training. Taste. That's what I'm going to deal with. So in other words, the Father gave us and dietary laws. Dietary laws within this culture. He gave us a way to eat. And not just a way to eat, what to eat. We'll do that too. See, remember, we're talking about culture, and it encompasses everything about this human being, no matter what culture that you're doing yourself to. And even those who will say, you know, I haven't joined to no culture, you're a liar. You joined to somebody's culture. That's Satan culture. You joined to his culture. You joined to his intellect, his way of thinking, his customs, his behaviors, you join to his custom if you want to say, I have no culture. You use somebody's culture, and that's the adversary, that's the devil. His beliefs. Then that was 4A, now we're on 4B. Acquaintances. acquaintance with and taste in fine arts, humanities, and broad aspects of science, and distinguished form of vocational and technical skills. Did the Father give us some type of skills within his word, within his culture? Yes, he did. He has given us skill within his word. See, to study means you're developing something. To rightly do something, that means you have developed it and you have gained a skill. To wield the sword, and especially a double-edged sword, you have to be skillful in that, or you will cut yourself. So within this culture, did the Father give us skill? Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Amen. Are we on five? Five, eight, matter of fact, family. The integrated pattern of human knowledge, belief, and behavior that depends upon the captivity for learning and transmitting knowledge to succeeding generations. What? Within this culture, do we supposed to pass something down within this culture? Why he called Abraham his friend? He said, Abraham shall do what? Teach his kids. So we are passing something down, whether good or bad, as human, and I like that word, succeeding generation. And that means somebody who's going to come and take your place. Now, we can't raise up a generation who has no skills, has no understanding, has not a good way of thinking, has bad behaviors. We can't raise that up and pass that on to them. We have to raise up a generation within what the Father has given us, and then that way the baton will be passed smoothly. And you won't miss a beat. Why? Because these culture has passed on to the next generation culture. You know, the beauty about Yahweh's culture, it's alive. And you will see it. Because I saw that. I saw where one has sat at the foot of another one and learned all the ways that the Father has taught him. So when that brother passed away, which was our first spiritual leader, our rabbi, when he passed away, it transcended to, or he succeeded the last rabbi. And it came right in smoothly. Word of Yahweh is alive. The culture that we have is like no other culture. Why? Because he sat at the foot of this brother and he learned. That knowledge was passed down to him. So when it was time for him to succeed him and to take over, the transition went smooth. There was no hiccup. Still to this day, there has been no hiccup. Yahweh's word is alive. Yahweh's culture is real. Like no other culture. And when whoever have to take over for that brother, the transition will be smooth. We can see that. No different than when Moshe passed it on to Yahushua. When Elijah passed it on to Elisha. When Yahushua or HaMashiach passed it on to the 12. The transition, it smoothed right. It kept on going. There was no hiccup in the culture of the Most High. None. Since mankind has been on this earth, there has not been a hiccup in his culture. Haven't been. Whatever he has given mankind at whatever period, it have not been a hiccup. It have not been not one time that his culture, that his ways, his statutes, his judgments have not flowed through, because it's alive. It's like no other culture. No other culture. None. That's the beauty. All right, 5B family. The customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or social group. Also, the characteristics, features of everyday existence. He says in his word that they will tell a tree by the fruit it bears. So that right there is a characteristic of a orange tree. The characteristic is oranges. Our culture will show who we belong to, our behaviors, our characteristics will show which culture we belong to. It will show that. And we're going to touch on that too, friend. We're going to touch on that. The culture, the characteristics of what Yah has given. Be again. The customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or social group, also the characteristics, features of everyday existence, shared by people in a place or time. Again, it's shared by people. So it's not just for one person. It's not just for, again, that one group. Although he has given it, his culture, to one group of people, which is Yisrael, Israel, what they supposed to do with the culture of the Most High or the word of the Most High is to share it with everybody else. See, the set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practice that characterize an institution or organization focus on the bottom line. The bottom line, you know, and that's where I wanted to get you. Whatever this culture is that the Most High has given us, the values, the attitude, the practices, the characteristics, the institutional organization, is the focus is for the bottom line. And what is this bottom line that the culture of the Most High, the culture of an Hebrew Israelite, should bring about? We're going to talk about that, which is the bottom line. Well, you know, family, I'm going to stop right there. I thought it was going to be an introduction, but you know how Yahweh do. He talks. He expounds. He opens up so you can understand what he's saying. So I'm going to thank you all, family, and we're going to resume this. Not next Tuesday, but Tuesday after that, because y'all have blessed me with a cruise, and I'm going to take a much-needed vacation. Hallelujah. I'm going to give him his props for that, for allowing me to have a vacation. Because trust me, dealing with mentally challenged people, you need a vacation. In this world system, period, even if you're not, no matter where you are, you working, you have a husband, you have a wife, you have kids, you need a vacation. You need what they call some me time. Yahushua took it all the time. Go back and look where he disappeared. He took some me time. But prayerfully, you got something out of tonight, and you start looking at it in a different way. Where you may not look at as just laws, just statutes, just judgments. But you're looking at it as it's a way of life. It's how you should behave. It's how you should be thinking. It's what you believe in, your characteristics, the bottom line, culture, family. Hebrew Israelite. Shalom.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Give your name the highest praise today. So we say hi.